Welcome to Notcast, episode 136. I like you. Fillies and gentlecoats, we are gathered here tonight for another fantastic episode of our delightful podcast.
How's every pony doing? Okay, so the question I just asked Recky before we hit the button. Why don't you want to watch My Little Pony Friendship is Magic?
I just don't have an interest in it. I mean,
have you given it a chance?
I have sat in the same room where Sarah was watching it, and it I don't hate it. I'm not giving it any, you know.
Okay, so you're not being a hater. So.
I'm not being a dick about it. No, I just didn't.
So we don't have to fuck you.
Yeah,
fuck
yeah.
The haters.
You're not being twitchy rhymes with witchy.
Yeah. Someone was actually talking about you guys. I'm not naming names, but they were like, "Dude, they are like fucking into this shit. Oh my god, it's just like absurd." And I said, you know. They could be just going around being assholes, so let's just let them have their fun, you know?
It's like, yeah, we could be into a lot of things, and a particularly harmless and enjoyable children's cartoon, which appeals to...
It was either this or a heroin addiction.
I had to make a choice.
You know, when I'm going on, like, okay, so for example, when, like, the new season of Doctor Who starts...
The ponies will go out the window then. There will be...
my example is, you go fucking nuts. Same way we were when the fucking WoW expansion hit. Yeah. Same way I am every time this new video game I want to play is coming out. You know, just anything like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't understand someone who's like, okay, we understand, calm the fuck down about it. Because, fuck it, let people have their fun. So I have no issue with anyone being obsessed with it. I will give you guys shit and sigh about it and go, and all this, but, like, honestly, right. I'm just glad you guys are having fun.
It's okay.
So. That's pretty much shit.
We're going to love and tolerate the shit out of you.
Because trust me, I'm loving and tolerating the shit out of you.
I think that's pretty much Tyrion's attitude, too. He just kind of pats me on the head.
That's nice, dear.
Because I watch ponies on the down low. I'm on the pony low. So I'll be like sitting on the love seat with my iPad with my headphones in it to watch it. And, you know, you'll be like, you're too quiet. Are you out here watching ponies? And we'll like loom over the back of the love seat with his little badger plush in one hand. And I'll be like... No. Pause home button.
Your private shame.
Yeah.
And it's so funny what, like, you guys were talking about watching it on Tuesdays or whatever, and your tweet was like, I may have to kill Tyrion first.
Yeah, well, he replied. You know,
I got there, and he was in the middle of Fall Weather Friends. That's a good episode. He had to pause it, and y'all didn't want to let him finish.
So is that the one about the fundamentalist pony, Falwell?
Oh. No.
The one pony that every other pony hates.
he tries to proselytize, and they're like, but we have our goddess. She's right here. Her name's Celestia.
Hi.
She comes to town occasionally. We don't need your...
Isn't that convenient to have your deity visit you?
Yeah.
In person, and drink your tea, and troll you with her pets.
See,
what's that little... Little Pegasus that loves animals. I totally brought my sick bird to town. Boy, sure hope nothing happens to it.
Cage.
So let's talk about video games.
So,
you want to talk about video games, fellas?
Is there a My Little Pony video game?
Not yet.
Probably back in the 90s.
You know, I bet you that there's probably like an 8-bit Nintendo version. Because the original show came out in the 80s.
Or a Game Boy version.
Well, there's numerous fan... things in progress. It'll probably go as far as, you know, the Sonic 2 remake.
Change like Robot Unicorn to like Twilight. Jump.
There's people that have done pixel swaps for at least pictures of Dash doing that.
I could see that.
Press X to Sonic Rainboom. So now that we've got our listeners that don't like ponies rolling in pain, well, you're welcome to do that.
So Dash, I know Savin see this. Did I show you guys my iPad's wallpaper?
Fuck it, I'm not
shit today. Yeah.
Oh, already. Yeah. For the Nintendo DS, My Little Pony, Pinkie Pie's Party.
Yeah, but they're using the stupid G3.5 designs. They look like marshmallows.
What the fuck does that mean? I have no idea what G3.5
is. Okay, so I actually read the wiki article on this that I would know. Apparently, we're now on the fourth generation of ponies.
You know, like there's G1 Transformers and G2 Transformers?
Oh, okay.
Because they were also done in the 80s, there's G4 ponies are the current iteration of them.
Okay, because of the current popularity of My Little Pony, there's a goddamn Game Boy Advance game for $33.98 on Amazon. Any Game Boy Advance game should cost like a buck.
Yeah, because it's all the old style stuff. They're like, oh, it's popular. Let's try to.
Yeah, they're like, but this isn't Lauren's design, so fuck it.
So
I wonder if there's any new stuff for the new for the current Shota. Not that I would play it anyway. I don't even play the Doctor Who game.
So son of a bitch. You read Penny Arcade, right?
Yeah.
Hail
Master Chief Pony. Oh. Oh, thank God it crashed Safari. Excellent.
Have you read it in the past couple days?
Yeah.
Okay. Past couple days, they had a comic out where they talked about a character called Kavoth. And it's out of a book called by Patrick Rothfuss. It's called Name of the Wind. It is one of the best fantasy novels I've read in I don't know how long. Okay. They just came out with a sequel after like 5 years, which is why the Penny Arcade guides were insane. So it's been, I'm hip deep in this book, and Tim's like, I want to watch ponies. And I'm like, book, ponies, book.
I was like, where are you going with this? Oh, okay. Yeah, back into the Welcome to Ponycast, episode one. No.
So I've been watching a couple a night. I haven't been able to sit down and like mainline them because book.
I'm on a drug. It's called Pinkie Pie. If you try it once, no, you'll die.
No, Pinkie Pie tested positive for Sheen. Oh. They had to put her down.
That's what she was. That's why she was rolling around in that one episode. Okay, so we should probably get back to the point of the show.
I would rather just talk about ponies.
I'm gonna leave.
Welcome to Ponycast. Welcome to the Brodycast.
We talk about only the most. We talk about mature shows like My Little Pony for mature men like ourselves.
She's an evil enchantress. She does evil dances.
Oh goodness!
That'd be Brodycast. Whoa. Well, goddamn.
What?
I crashed Safari.
That's twice. That just happened to me looking up pony shit.
Wow. iPads don't like My Little Pony. Well, it plays. The episodes play fine.
But. Awesome. I'm so glad to know that Safari, at least, has sense.
Doesn't want to go on Safari for ponies. Okay, so we should actually get to reading some emails.
Well, let me pull my email client back up. Okay, there we go. Okay, I'm deciding that I'm going to start this week.
Okay. Okay. Good initiative.
Yes.
We don't have to roll for it.
Yay! A picture's worth 1,000 words. How furry porn got me a boyfriend. Warning, the names in this story have been changed to protect the identities of the innocent. Or not so innocent.
It's a porn, it's not, yeah.
Dear Notcasters, today's topic holds a rather special place in my heart. I've been friends with my mate Hodge since first grade, when we met during detention. Hodge's parents are super conservative ranchers with a take-no-prisoners attitude. Applebuckers. This could hardly be considered ideal atmosphere for a gay man, and Hodge still hasn't come out to his parents to this day. The fact that our entire middle school... I've been in the same school with him from elementary school to high school, found out he was gay, a friend leaked his most trusted secret, didn't help his home life. I didn't really gain a crush on him until the end of sophomore year. Needless to say, when junior year came around, my feelings were just as strong, if not stronger. I would visit him every morning in class, but that's as far as I went. I knew he was gay, but I feared rejection, considering how different we were. He was the cool, smart, good-looking guy. At some point in time, there's always some girl who had a crush on him, and I was the chubby, weird guy in school. The fact that Hodge knew I was furry didn't help. That summer, he came to the house to hang out. We watched movies, played video games, and ate dinner. The last of these I thought of as a date Later he would tell me he thought the same thing, and on the car ride home I had to use all my might to prevent myself from holding his hand. As the night wore on, I asked him to spend the night as a friend, and he did. We spent most of the night surfing the internet until I went tired and went to sleep. The next morning I had to drop my brother off, and he decided to tag along. He asked me if I went to F-Chan, and I answered yes. This was followed by the question, which board do you go on? I hesitated at first, but I decided I had nothing to lose, so I answered rather awkwardly that I went to / AH Cub Snuff all the way.
No!
Okay, the backspace, doesn't actually say that. Rather awkwardly, then I went to / M. What I didn't know at that point was that after I'd gone to bed, he had accidentally stumbled across some gay furry porn, a picture by Weatherby, which he still makes fun of me for on my computer. He had an on-off crush on me since middle school. He has a thing for chubby guys, but didn't think I would like him. This was a sign from the gods, sky wizards, that he should go for it. After our car ride back, he tried to flirt with me, make me breakfast, just suggestively went to bed, and so forth, only for me to be too dense to see what he was doing. We sort of cuddled on the couch before he left, and as he left, I felt miserable because I didn't have the balls to kiss him or say that I loved him. After he left, he asked why I was so sad, and I explained the situation, and we started dating. We're still going strong after almost 3 years, and I hope it continues to go that way. Sorry if this is a wall of text, but I felt that all the details were necessary. That Arctic Fox from Austin, Snow.
That's a cool one.
That's sweet.
That is sweet.
Furry porn hooked you a dude. That's cool.
Awesome. See, it is good for stuff.
And not just masturbation.
And how? How do we want to do this week?
We'll go clockwise, I guess.
Okay.
So I will read the next email.
Yay!
Return of the Lava Monster. It's been a while, Notcast. Zygorth, sounds like a villain from some cartoon. Zygoth, your curious kitty here with an amazingly on-topic email today. I may start off track, but bear with me. I work at a grocery store as the guy who cleans up after everyone else, a.k.a. the clean team. After roughly three-fourths of a year ago, or about roughly three-fourths of a year ago, I met a cashier who had just started. We'll leave her name as C for now. The weird thing is we both could have sworn that we both had both seen each other somewhere else before, so keep lobbing questions at her to see if our past intersected at all. They don't, or at least we left it at that. As time goes on, we see each other now and then, only because clean team works in our shifts, so it's only natural that I go by her register as I work. I feel I should explain something now. Ever since I first met her, I've felt a very strong attraction to her. A few months back, I decided to text her during break that I had a crush on her. Her old phone had extremely terrible service, so she didn't get it. We ended up on break together, and I showed her the text. Terrible thinking on my part, and she responded with explaining that when she was in high school, we had the same age, shockingly, that all the creeps would hit on her. She said that she would be fine being friends, though. Fast forward to the present day, we're hanging out frequently, and I'm enjoying every moment of it. The problem is, those feelings of attraction haven't gone away. On the plus side, though, she seems getting closer to me little by little. Now, I've refrained from formally asking her out on a date out of respect for her, so almighty caster of the knot, what should I do? Your curious kitty from the frozen plains of the north, Zygoth. And then he asks about what is our favorite Pokemon. So, he's been friend-zoned.
I'm going to answer the easy question, because I said last week my favorite Pokemon is Charizard.
There we go.
Charmeleon. Shiva, what's yours?
Ninetales.
Zavrin.
Eevee.
Oh, all classic. So I actually know them.
Great.
Well, because Eevee is so versatile. It can be like seven different Pokemon now.
Just like a Fennec. Anyway.
Yay.
So, answer his question.
Friendzone. Oh, how to escape it.
Oh, man. You have been friendzoned. That sucks.
So you're just,
next email.
No. It's one of those things that if you do finally ask her out on a date, it could freak her out a little bit, because she may have gotten to the point where you're, oh, but you're like a brother to me. And it's like, we live in the South. No. Except he lives up north.
Somewhere. The issue is, though, that he's already asked her, and she said, let's just be friends.
And that was about, looks like 9 months ago.
Yeah. You know, I don't think there's anywhere to go from there. At least not for another quite a while. You know, if you had just been friends and she had said, all the creeps hit on me, but you guys were friends, I was saying, well, that doesn't count you because you're not a creep because she considers you a friend. But you already asked her and she said no. So I don't know if I'd ask her
again. I'd maybe spend some more time and then later on ask her. Start by going out and ask her to do stuff, but don't call it a date. Mm-hmm. You know, I say, hey, do you want to go catch this movie? But don't use the D word. You know, you want to go grab some dinner? Again, don't use the D word.
Mm-hmm. So call it a meal instead of dinner.
But
just fuck you.
You know, don't close yourself off to other, you know,
other opportunities.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
You know, don't miss something because the chick that never would come around. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, trust me.
Yeah. Are you pretty much on that page, Seven?
Hmm? Yep. I was gonna archive the email and go to the next one.
Okay. So, Shiva, your turn.
Let's see. Subject, do you like me? Escaping the friend zone is completely and totally possible. I met my fox via the internets and we really hit it off. But almost immediately thereafter, I went to visit family for Christmas. We were out in the boonies, so there was never a drop of internet to be found anywhere. Needless to say, I spent the entire time thinking about him. He's foxed his way into my heart. Upon arriving back home, I didn't want to jump in with the idea too soon, so we stayed friends for some time longer before I asked him to be mine. We've been together 2.5 years online. We haven't met yet. He's a U.S. Army, and I'm a school officer training, so the logistics haven't quite sorted themselves out. Anyways, I wish you all the best. Jeffrey Will. P.S. Yes, I like you guys.
Smiley face. Looks cool. You know?
And good luck. I hope it works.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's military for...
Archive.
Cool story, bro.
Your turn.
Is the archive button that one?
The little box.
Yep. Okay, I'll make sure to press that.
You get the fun title one, Ricky.
Putting the fun in third degree manslaughter.
Did you guys like line this up on purpose so he got this one?
Oh no.
No, actually we didn't.
All right, dear Notcast, your timing on this subject couldn't be better. What the fuck? As I happen to be pondering starting a relationship, for the first time in over 5 years. I've always been very wary about semi-long to long-distance relationships, as based on my observations, they almost never work out. However, despite my caution, it would seem I've begun falling for a good friend of mine living in Pennsylvania. I live in Illinois. Let's see here. We've been good friends for about 3 years. Anyone familiar with my DeviantArt gallery, username is Regal Bogart. Did I say that right?
Regal T. Bogart.
Regal T. Bogart. I butchered that. Anyway, can possibly guess who I am talking about. Based on all the fan art I've drawn of her characters, we talk occasionally via Skype, and we share a lot of the same interests. She's not a furry based purely on not wanting to be associated with our more derfy members, but generally fits the bill in every other respect.
In other words, she's a furry.
Yeah. The problem I'm having, though, is determining whether or not I should throw caution to the wind and share my feelings with her, despite the fact that I have very little chance to go visit her or vice versa, due to economic dumbfuckery preventing me from getting a job or funds to facilitate the trips. I'm well aware that seeing each other face-to-face is very important for a relationship to thrive, but my hands are tied financially. No, seriously, I've been unemployed for going on 2 years now. While I think it might be worth a shot, I would like to hear your opinions as well so that I may possibly gain a better perspective. What do you folks think I should do? Enjoy delicious podcasting stuffs. Regal T. Bogart. Regal.
Regal.
Sorry.
I think that's what Savard said.
Mr. Bogart.
Long distance relationship on a budget.
That's tough.
Good luck.
Yeah, you're doing the right thing with keeping in contact via Skype. You know, so at least you could talk in person and it's not just like type fucking or whatever. And that's kind of what I did whenever I was in a long distance relationship when we weren't, visiting at the time. You definitely do need to do... get in touch somehow in person. If you do any mutual trips, like go to any cons, doesn't have to be a furry con if she's not comfortable with that. But if she's on DA, I mean, maybe she goes to anime cons or an art thing or something like that. But if you can arrange, you know, because if you're pooling resources, you know, your room sharing or your ride sharing or something like that, that can make going somewhere to see each other in person a little bit more cost effective. Other than that,
I know
that, you know, it's hard to just say get a job, but it's kind of what it comes down to.
As a girl, I did go across country to visit guys on my own bill. So it all depends on also how comfortable with you she is. And if I don't know what her financial situation is, she's be willing to foot a good chunk of the bill to make this work. There's always that. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I'm saying this as, from a girl, is like, I did that. So it's perfectly plausible. So, it's a hard call. Starting up something when you don't have the financials to really take it in person when you're wanting an in-person relationship is a tough call, but it kind of comes down to if she's willing to help out and not take it all on your side, so.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. On to the next email.
Your turn, Fuzzy Fuzzy Shy.
Recky Pie?
Shiva Dash and Saverin Sparkle.
That's kind of funny, actually, that you just said that to me, considering the email subject I have now. I'm going to read an email, if that's okay.
Okay.
I guess.
Fluttershy needs a manly voice in every episode.
Saverin's been tweeted at.
Dear Knotters of Knotness, sorry for the off-topicness, I just have a problem and I'm running out of places to get advice. Therefore, I turn to you. You've tried the best, now try the rest. I'm a recent college graduate that went to an amazing college for music business. Problem one is the price tag. Problem two is while I was attending, the economy exploded. What I was studying is already had enough to actually... Jesus Christ, this sentence. I can tell you're a music major. Well, you're clearly not an English major, is all I'm saying. What I was studying...
Your opinions are fuzzled, but not necessarily that of the podcast.
Sorry. What I was studying is already had enough to actually break, though, into... But now it's near impossible. I thought I was going to graduate and move across country to beautiful California and live the dream. Except now I'm stuck back home. I don't have too much of a problem with my parents. In fact, my dad is awesome. My mom, however, is one of those overbearing, overprotective Jewish moms. I'm 23, yet I have to tell her where I'm going every time I go out and who I'm hanging out with. I tried explaining to her that I've lived alone for 4 years, studied abroad in Europe, and lived in California for the summer. She had no control over me then, and she shouldn't have it now. I also don't want to tell her I'm going to...
Hang out with a bunch of fur fags.
Shut up. Stop doing that. Just because we're not holding the emails on paper in front of us anymore does not mean...
Well, you're trying to fix it, and I'm just like, look, I'll fix it.
I'm not trying to fix it. I misread it.
Saverin's that douchebag in class when you had to read aloud and everyone had the same book, he'd correct you or try to finish the sentence for you.
Well, according to my book, it said...
to be or not to be, douchebag.
If I'm going to be Saverin Sparkle, I got to get the bookworm. Got to
be well-read, yeah. Okay, no. I saw the word hang out of the corner of my eye, and I thought it was bang. So wait. I was going to read it as, I didn't want to tell her I'm going to go bang a bunch of fur fangs. That's why I stopped for a second that I had.
No, you know, Recky Pie is actually pretty accurate because he does like to throw lots of parties.
That's true. God damn it. Come, you miss party. I also
So now you have to kill her with a rusty crowbar.
I tweeted at Saverin that if he calls me Wrecky Pipe one more time, I'm going to fuck him with a rusty crowbar. So, Shiva, I will fuck you with a rusty crowbar.
Roses are red. Violets are blue. I'm going to fuck you with a rake.
What the hell is that from?
The internet.
Okay, fair enough. I'll look it up on Lycos. I also didn't want to tell her I'm going to hang out with a bunch of fur fags. She doesn't need to know about that. All I want is some privacy. It literally keeps me from going out and doing things because I don't feel like telling her what I'm doing, or I don't feel like making the effort to lie, and I'm probably getting caught in it because lying isn't my strong point. I'm desperately
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I'm desperately searching for a job that pays more than the shithole I work at now. Though to actually break into what I want to do, I'd have to do more internships. I'm not looking at your monitor until I'm done reading this email.
So. Yeah.
Which means not getting paid. Which means my $900 student loans will not be paid. That is what is keeping me stuck here. The amount we took out in loans could easily buy a house. It wasn't smart that I have that much in loans, but it was the only way I could go to this school. Also, with internships, I'd have to travel into New York City to get anything. That is about an hour, 20-minute train ride and around $350 extra dollars for a monthly pass.
Jesus.
On top of that, I don't know if I even want to do what I majored in anymore. It seems more like a hobby to me now. But anything else I would be interested in, ethnomusicology, astrophysics, zoology, I'd be in the same situation I am now. And finally, on top of this, my best friend, I've known her since grade school. We even went to the same college. We went to the same city for college and were roommates and blah blah. Has her heart set on moving to the Southwest, much like I do with Callie. Her parents have money, though, and they are helping her pay her loan. All she talks about is how she is going to move in September and how great it's going to be. I've asked her to tone it down because I get jealous that I can't escape and move out. It always ends in someone screaming at the other. I feel like I'm going crazy back home. Between my parents, my no money, and no direction in my life, I'm at my wit's end. There are a lot of other things that are going on, have happened, that only makes matters worse. I'm sparing you this email any longer than it is. So to say the least, I'm ready to take my car and drive it off a mountain. Notcast, if you could give me any advice on how I could get my life together, it would be awesome. Thanks so much, and keep on being awesome, Akara. P.S. Confound those ponies.
I'm sorry I died laughing. I was getting shit on Twitter being called Wrecky Pie. And Rama Lion said, can I call you Wrecky Pie? And I said, no, Bites. And he's like, cries, meanie. And I was going to say all, but my iPad corrected it to asses. So I actually posted a picture on Twitter of it.
Oh, jeez.
He just said the funny thing, asses seems like a good response for you.
So how to kind of get out of the hole that he's kind of
That seems like a in. Conundrum.
Yeah. Shit. Go ahead, you say it, Shiva, because some people would probably go say the same thing I will.
Unfortunately, it sounds like you're kind of in a hole. $900 a month, you can maybe talk to the student loan board and ask them to try and remember. It's basically kind of where they forgive your loans for a period of time.
Yeah. They never go away permanently, but you can get deferments until you're making an income that allows you to actually make those kinds of payments.
And unfortunately, with your degree and the kind of money you sunk into it, you're going to probably have to try and see if you can harness what you went to school for.
Yeah.
It may seem like a hobby to you, but if you can make money at it, you know.
It's one of those things that people with degrees don't always necessarily go into the field that they got them in.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that have degrees that are not working in the field that the degree is in, including creative field degrees, like art and music, or they end up somewhere else, end up in insurance.
Hell, even teachers.
You know, yeah, you'll see that happen a lot. You'll see teachers ending up doing something else. Or, you know, a lot of businesses don't necessarily care what the degree is in, as long as it's not like underwater basket weaving or something like that. They just care that you have a degree. You have a 2 or 4 year degree that shows that you were able to complete something.
It shows commitment.
Well, it shows commitment. It shows the ability to be trained.
But it's also the fact that when you get a degree, no matter what you get a degree in, there's a certain amount of requirements that go along with it, a certain amount of math, a certain amount of humanities. Then there's usually, you may mm-hmm. not get something that your degree, but you have this all this other education that goes pair with it if you have to go to an accredited school, so that you're guaranteed to at least have a minimal of XYZ. So
yeah. So I mean, it sounds like you're not really enthralled about going into your field now. So I would just I would put aside the idea of unpaid internships or looking for something in your field right off the bat, and just find some cubicle jockey job. It's just, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what I do. It's just, it's enough to make a living, and it allows me to keep a roof over my head, and then pays me enough to do what I want to do with my life through it with the rest of my time. And that's really what you need to be looking for.
Yeah, find a job that gives back so that you can enable you to, you know, pay your bills and whatnot, so you can further your life to get towards that goal you want to get to.
And it may be also, if you go back to school, and I hate to say this, but I think if you just enroll and take one class, that should, I believe if you're in school and currently taking classes, that causes your tuition
to reset.
Yeah, and that should buy you another 6 months afterwards. So I don't know, maybe you might see about going to something at the community college. It depends on what you take and what's available. And yeah, it is more money, but it buys you time. And I'm honestly one to say, if you could get the $350 to get into New York City for an internship, maybe see about doing that during the day and find something at night. Because it might take, unfortunately, saying goodbye to your social life to turn your degree into something that will pay for that amount of money that you've sunk into it. So
I would definitely recommend against, I don't know, continuing to obsess over the idea of California. I've seen so many people that get it in their head. That I saw this when I lived in Florida all the time, because, I mean, I lived in North Florida, but there's all these furries that moved to Florida from out of state. They wanted to move to Orlando because, oh my God, it's Orlando, and Disney's there, and the Puppet Show is there, and they have a convention there, and it'll be all these furries, and it'll be, everything will just be great. And then they move there, and Florida's economy sucks. It's built on tourism and call centers, and there's just shit to do there. And then the economy collapses, and then they kind of have to, you know, couch surf for a while, and then tuck their tail between their legs and scurry off home. It sounds to me, I don't want to be a complete downer, although I kind of
Welcome
am.
Welcome to Stark Dose of Reality.
Yeah, you kind of have this idea about California. California is worse than Florida. The cost of living in California is staggering.
It's astronomical out there.
Well, I mean, you're living in New York State, so it's not really going to be...
Damn, the job market.
That's, you know, that's an expensive... It's expensive to live in the Northeast as well, right. But...
My brother lives, my sister and her husband, my brother-in-law, live out in Sacramento. He makes well over six figures, and they barely scrape by just with paying the rent, the bills, the taxes out there. Mm-hmm. And they don't have, they just live in like a half a duplex. I mean, it's not like they're living in, you know, they're not.
Here's an example. Go ahead.
They got three kids. So they do have three little mouths to feed, but they're not that old, so we're not talking about paying for college. But right. Just for two cars, paying for a duplex, paying for taxes, paying off various student loans. And they make it, but it's not like they're rolling in it. And he makes a good figure job. I mean, if I made that here, I would be sweet. But out there, it is so tough. Just
The house I'm currently trying to buy, a house in a decent neighborhood for the same price in California is a fourth of the size in
a ghetto.
It's not necessarily in the ghetto, but it's a fourth of the size, probably much older, not as in good condition. So literally, I mean, four times as big. The house I'm trying to buy is like 2,000 square foot.
That's like even the rent?
Yeah. The rent is too damn high, you know?
Well, it's like we've got a 1,200 square foot apartment here. Ish. Like 1150, 60, whatever.
It's about the same size as Taryn and I's place.
Yeah. And we pay about $900 a month.
And my sister, about the same square footage, pays, I think it's close to between 15 and 18.
Yeah.
And they have like half of a sliver of yard. And it's in a pretty safe, pretty okay neighborhood. Not super richy-richy.
Well, this is a nice area. Well, nice enough. It's suburbia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's what she's facing for rent out there.
We are kind of getting off the topic here.
So, but yeah, I'm just saying,
you know, it's like compare yourself. You know, California is this idyllic, you know, idealized place, but if you go there, realize... You
know, and I know that's kind of off topic, but that's kind of something that's needed to be said to a lot of people that listen.
Because I didn't want to go down an hour-long discussion about real estate with us, you know, but no,
you hear a lot of people like, ooh, let's go to California, and it's a fiscal disaster. Why would you do that? It's
expensive.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got this much student loans already.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And
also, I understand you're frustrated, but don't get into shouting matches with your friend that's moving, because she's moving and you're not going to really see her in person for a long time. Mm-hmm. And there's two sides to every story, and, you know, the truth is usually somewhere in the middle. It's possible that she's being a total bitch about this and she needs to be yelled at, but it's also possible that you're just jealous and overreacting. And, you know, if shit's going well for someone and they're happy in their situation, it's going to be hard not to talk about it. It's more of, you know, being the bigger person to just be like, that's cool, I'm happy for you, as opposed to laying the guilt trip on her.
Like, yeah, that's a good... I mean, that's happened to Sarah and I. Like, things are going pretty good for us, and there are some people that, like, we're bad because we
are happy. You know,
admit it that things are good, so.
Yeah. It's like if I say, I got a raise, and someone's like, well, I'm still making $8 an hour at Walmart, you know, and I'm like, I mentioned it.
You're not allowed to be happy for yourself, so
just
people, you know, don't, I'm telling the person who wrote in, don't be that person, you know.
Yeah, don't be that guy, because I hate that guy. Everybody hates that guy.
Except for that guy.
Because, you know, everyone's ego... And everyone's ego is a really fragile thing. And, you know, for some of us, we keep our egos in check. And then as soon as we get the little snifter of success and happen to say, hey, I had a tiny success this month and I'm happy about it, there's always some asshole standing by to slap you and be like, my life's horrible. How dare you be happy?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Well, we could go on an hour talking about how much that pisses us off.
Let's go on to our next email, because I do think we answered that one rather well.
Okay.
Correction! And off-topic stuff. Hi there, naughty nutcasters. This is Bar the Kitsune Vixen. I forgot to mention that I was a girl. It was hilarious being a he, smiley face. Again, with a humble correction. Who knows? I was wrong on the internet. Ah! In my last email, the person I mentioned as being influential to both anime and furry fandom was Fred Patton, not Fred Perry. I get names confused a lot, and I didn't write more because I didn't want to turn my email into a wall of text. Thank you guys for so much for pointing out my mistake in such a nice way, though.
I like your wording on that, though. Huge citation. It occurred to me later on, I was like, the Fred sounds right, but it's not Fred Perry, and I remembered it like 2 hours later.
I was one of those, cool, but I'm not going to look it up while I'm doing the show. As for your citation, you can not only look up Fred Patton on Wikipedia and Wikifer, he's also written some books on anime, such as Watching Anime, Reading Manga, and he helped edit an anthology called Furry, the Best Anthropomorphic Fiction, which I think Kieran has a copy of.
I have a copy of it. I have not had a chance to read it yet. But it's a hell of a deal because it's like $20 and it's like 500 fucking pages.
It's huge. Yeah. Basically, it's not only helped translate early anime, but also helped create some early furry magazines like Rob Razzle and helped create the Ursa Majors, according to Wikifer. Now to the main topic. How do you confess that you like someone? You confess to them that you like them, but do it slowly. I usually take a little time to feel
it. I really like you. I want your balls in my mouth.
Okay, I usually take a little time to feel a situation first and get to know the person as a friend better before I say my feelings about them.
Oh, slowly that way. Got it. Okay.
Looking back, I realized the longer I waited to say I really liked this person and wanted to be with them, the longer my relationship with them lasted. My current mate, however, is sort of an exception, as we both know our feelings right away. We both knew we liked each other the moment we were introduced online, and a couple of weeks later we found ourselves ready to be head over heels for each other. I remember talking to him about it, parked outside my work when he called me. He confessed first, and I knew that he had feelings, and I knew that I had feelings for him too. After I'd traveled to meet him in real life, but I wanted to wait a while before jumping into a relationship. In fact, I gave him a test: if you can afford to come up and see me, you can date me. Sure enough, he did, and over 2 years, this is the longest and the best relationship I've ever had. Relationships start by telling someone how you feel. I think confessions of love reveal the truth about your relationship that would have come out in other ways. Those who react horribly to a confession of love and end up hating you would have never been your friend in the first place, because they would hate you over something else. And if the other person didn't share your feelings but stayed your friend, then they would have been a friend all along. And if you get into a relationship out of it, then you were meant to have a relationship. But it has to start somewhere, and it may have to start with you. We regret more things that we would have never done than the things we actually do. So, if you've known someone a good long time and have feelings for them, it is best to tell them when you can, because you'll find out who they really are to you. Your maker up of words, Bara Kawamori, the Two-Tailed Kitsune. That was a good email.
That was a good email. It's one where our listener wrote in and gave good advice.
Yay!
So we don't have to.
Yep.
But no, thank you very much for writing in, and thank you for the clarification on Fred Patton. I do recall his name as being a big-time influence in early furry.
Okay. So, we're coming up on our break, so I have to... This is the one piece of paper that's associated to the podcast anymore. It's the ad copy for this. So, get your paper rustling in now. It's so good. Commission Me! It's the adult-themed card game for 3 to 5 furs. Commission Me combines the best of strategic gaming with every furry's favorite activity, looking at furry porn. It features 70 cards with yiffy art from 5 different artists: Urban Coyote, The Ramjing, Dream and Nightmare, Felix Path, and Van Ishikawa. For more information, see www.infurtainment.com. Infurtainment.com. This week's song is Golden Cupcakes. I'm not actually sure who made this. I'm going to have to go on PonyChan and look it up. But it's actually pretty good. Enjoy.
Help me! get ever over.
Suction cup, by the
and
way.
We're back. So
we're back.
Back again. My cast back. Tell a friend. No. So anyways, that was an awesome song that may or may not have given you diabetes. This week's item from AdamandEve.com is the Basics 7.5-inch dong with suction cup. It is blue. It is big. It is jelly.
It is like rainbow being, dash blue.
It's like being fucked by a Navi.
Yes. It's made in the USA, so you can shove it up your butt and know that somebody in America made it.
It's patriotic.
patriotic dildo.
Hey, it is blue.
One of them Chinese's.
Yeah. Well, 7.5-inch and 1.5-inch wide, made from blue jelly rubber.
Yeah, that ain't made by Chinese.
Powerful suction cup sticks, and it has a suction cup on the base, so you can, you know...
stick it to things.
They can tell you to go fuck yourself, and instead of becoming the great and powerful Trixie, you just fuck yourself with a dildo.
Get fucked by big American cock.
Yes, and what's great is it's only on sale for $14.95. But wait, there's more. If you use our coupon code NOT...
That's P-O-N-Y?
No. K-N-O-T. You'll get 50% off one item, 3 free DVDs,
D-A-S-H?
Free shipping. No. And a mystery gift. Basically, you get a hell of a deal. And every sale goes to help out the show.
Fuck tapes.
So, $7.50 you could get a blue dong.
Yeah. And you can go fuck yourself. So
fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Fuck you.
On that note, we're going to go back to the email. Sheila, it is your turn.
Okay.
I subject. Like cupcake.
Of course I like you. Dear Fluffly... Fluffly...
I still have two more baked bads.
No. No. These aren't baked goods. These are baked
bads. Anyway, dear Fluffy Relationship Advice Dispensers. We're dispensers.
Need a dispenser here.
I've been silent on the show for quite a bit. Happy just to listen. Until now. Well, re-listening to your cast, I heard that you mentioned that you had a Facebook fan group. We do?
Yeah.
We do?
We do. I don't know anything about it, but
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, what a shout out to the Facebook fans, Recky.
Sorry.
Well, with my personal.
Oh, account. not with my real name. Hi, I'm the star of the show. Here's where I work.
No. Here's my phone number.
Here's my family. No.
Why don't you contact my grandmother?
Your son does a great dong cast.
No.
But it's awesome that it exists.
Do you have a fur affinity fan group? Well, I've taken the liberty of creating one. Please tell me if you have one already. It is Watch the Cast Members and the Not Cast Account. On to the topical stuff. Someone recently showed me that they like me. Lots. By giving me a hickey. Well, guess what? My mother saw this. They are more perceptive than they'll have you believe. And she figured out a friend was over, the same friend she once caught me naked with. She assumed it was him. He is now banned from sleeping here, but not from day visits. The problem is he lives a good 2 hours away, public transport, and day trips don't give us much time together. Thankfully, Mom isn't hating on me. She sat me down and gave me a talk about how dangerous gay sex is, and that I should rethink the path I'm taking.
Sex is dangerous.
She hasn't told me that I'm not allowed to do this full stop, just not under her roof. Now, my question. I want him to be able to come over again. I've promised my mother we won't do anything like that again because it was just one time and she believed that. Now, how do I approach the subject of having him over again? Not to have sex, as if she caught us again, he would definitely be banned, but to have over for company. Because when I'm apart for long periods of time, I miss him dearly. Hon, I know you probably won't hear this for a while, but I love you. I want you in my life, even if you are just there as a friend. Any advice is appreciated. The latest she would relent would probably be September, when I'm celebrating my 21st. Earliest I want her to relent is for May, when his 21st is happening. So, do I give her more time? She hasn't been treating me any different, and I've been trying to keep on her good side just in case. Thanks for your time, Underdrag.
Oh, well, to begin with, you know, bless your mother and all for not being a total bitch about anything.
Just, you know, a slight bitch.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm going to defend his mom a little bit here because my parents didn't even want their married children having sex under their roof. You know, my older sister and her redneck husband, the one who had their double wide foreclosed on, or repossessed, sorry, they don't get a foreclosure.
They just pick it up on jacks and drive off
with it. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that older sibling.
Saw it in half.
They, like, got fucking down and dirty in my parents' house with my dad in the living room who could hear it all in the middle of the day.
Oh, crap.
And left the fucking condom on the floor for my mother to find.
Now, so, that's completely reasonable. So, I mean, my parents had that thing, you know, that same rule, but I'm going more of the how dangerous gay sex is, and well, are you sure you want to be on this path?
I was about to get to that, but
yeah, the no sex under your parents' roof, that's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, my parents don't even, you know, my mom doesn't want me doing it. She doesn't even want her straight married kids doing it. But this far, I mean, I don't know what Mr. O'Reilly and Mr., you know, Falwell have told her in the past, but she's not a sex expert, and she's probably never had gay sex, and she's probably never researched gay sex. So, you know, it's straight people can do just as dangerous shit. So don't let that get to your head.
Everyone's got an anus.
Yeah. I know straight people who do some crazy shit, and it is more dangerous than anything a gay person can do with their body. So
the more you know.
Yeah.
Blood play.
Oh, yeah, there's just some stupid, dirty shit that people do.
Well, I was going to say that straight gays could do that, too.
Well, I'm just saying, stupid, dangerous sex is not limited to your
all
sexuality.
All you Philly foolers and cult cuddlers out there. Oh. Anyways, yeah, I mean, you're nearing your 21st birthday, but you still live under her roof. Maybe you could probably be like, dude, that was a dumb idea to give me a hickey.
Yeah, I would have seriously, like...
See, I had that happen with Panther once, and I was working as, like, a morning stalker at a sort of redneck Kohl's back when I lived in Fort Worth.
There was a non-redneck Kohl's?
Yeah. Kohl's is sort of, like, upscale Mervyn's, which is to say it's not much of anything. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those things. I came to work one day with this massive hickey on my neck. No thanks to, you know, the hot makeout session I had that night. But it was one of those, oh, geez, you know, I had to explain it. My mom just kind of rolled her eyes. But yeah, it's like hickeys are serious business. They don't go away.
They will be with you for the rest of your life.
Like no, herpes. They will be there for a couple of weeks because it's a pretty decent bruise usually.
Yeah, if you're gonna leave hickeys,
do it on like their shoulder.
Yeah, don't do it on the neck. Don't do it on.
Because I mean, that was the last one. Last time I got one was like on my shoulder, and it stuck around for like 2 weeks.
One of my like my second boyfriend ever, I like. Left like a necklace of hickeys around his neck. Which I was a lot younger then, and I would probably think about that beforehand now.
Yeah. As for the fan group thing, that's cool. I noticed it the other day. I'm like,
yeah, I saw that. It's like, oh my.
That won't be infested by trolls and haters at all.
Mm. Well, do you want to give out the name?
It's. Pretty sure it's Notcast Fans.
It is. I'm looking at it right now. It's Notcast Fans. So if you're a listener, which I'm assuming if you're listening to me now, you probably are.
Possibly.
And you want to, I don't know, watch a Notcast Fan group, it's Notcast Fans on FA.
Yes. It's, there we go. And that would be next email. Oh. I should turn my my computer to mute.
So,
oh, Reggie.
Sorry, I was looking up the Facebook thing there real quick.
Okay.
I will do that after this.
Cool.
All right, kind of off topic. Hello to all. I am going to use a different name than what I would normally go by, Cool Moon. Now that we got that out of the way, we can get to my problem. I've been talking to this guy for a short time now, but the more I talk to him, the more I fall for him. We both like a lot of the same stuff, so I kind of came out and told him how I felt. He told me that he had a strong feeling for me too, but was not ready to come out to the world. But he was gay and was just going to leave it as an online thing for now. It did not last long the next morning, where he felt we might have moved too fast and wanted to back down. After a good hour of crying, we had talked it out and we would... go back over the top. Okay, sorry, your words kind of ran together here. After a good hour of crying, we had talked it out, and we would go back the over-the-top flirting and see where things went. Sadly, it quickly went to him just wanting to be friends with me and nothing more, at least that's what he's saying. He still flirts a lot, normally leading him to shaking his ass for me. He has even made the comment before about how when he RPs with me, it is things that he would only do if he would really do if we got together. I'm so confused on what to do, and I really mean and what I really mean to him. Even right now, as I'm typing this, he is still talking to me, getting very personal, not sexual. The more I talk to him, the more I love him. But I need to know if I'm just setting myself up for failure again, or if I should wait this out and see what grows. In my head, I keep telling myself I'm making too much of this, but. Then he will make a comment about how we are just close friends, then go back to wanting me to tie him up and what we talk RRP about, and then he thinks something's wrong. Wait.
You missed the sentence.
Yes, I did. This is all just... Sorry, dude. Your stuff's kind of running together here. Then go back to wanting me to tie him up and rub his butt while calling him a good girl, all in text, mind you. I've tried to cool down what we talk RRP about, but then he thinks something is wrong. When I tell him what is up or my thoughts on this whole thing, he gets really sad and that he has hurt me, but then goes back to telling me I'm just a very special friend to him. I hope this email makes sense, as it is 3 a.m. and I've not gone to bed yet. I just don't know what to do anymore. I do want to say that I love your show, and since I listen to it while I'm riding the bus, there has been a few moments where I've gotten odd looks from people as I laugh out loud without thinking. Please keep up the good work. I need all the laughs I can get. So that's not cool. That's selfish, in my opinion.
And I think his friend is confused, as in he doesn't know what he wants.
It sounds to me like he clearly knows what he wants, but he is too afraid. I mean, that's just my opinion, though.
Yeah, because it's like, you do all this, and then, oh, shit, oh, wait, never mind, run away.
Oh, shit, it's gay, I can't do that, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It could be also that he's just not comfortable with himself. You know, the idea of him being, I like dudes, hasn't necessarily translated to the real world yet.
Mm. It is unfortunately common.
That, you know, there's those guys out there that, man, they really love jacking it to gay furry porn, but the idea of even getting anywhere near a penis in real life terrifies them, you know? Mm. Excuse me. So, I mean, that's another possibility. I mean, you're a very special friend to him, and he probably needs to get his head on, pardon the term, straight. You know, figure out where he wants to go.
Because it's a hard thing to really come to grasp with, and it's a hard thing to bring to real life and start doing.
You know, because he likes the attention online, but when it comes to the real world, you know, there is a certain, you know, time and curve to this that has to kind of progress on its own.
And it is something where you have to be kind of prepared to take all the consequences that come with it.
I mean, and this is, you know, with any relationship, not just, you know, gay ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's, you know, a bit more social things with gay relationships, but, you know, in any relationship, it requires a certain amount of forethought and preparation to, you know, take it to that level.
Very much so.
Thankfully, I can't find shit on Facebook.
Oh, I found it without even logging in.
Really?
There's actually two of them.
It must be the app I was using.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just using the website. Yeah, there was one that was started originally that's really out of date. Like, the latest episode is episode 34, and it still lists the cast as Damien, Saverin, Fuzzwolf, and Zap.
and the other one died.
That's the one that hasn't been updated that much, but it does have 215 members, and people are still posting to the wall relatively recently. And then there's another one that was created to replace that, where the guy is intending to update it weekly. And that one only has 52 members so far, and he started last May.
See, the thing with, you know, having a Facebook group, it's like, I understand we have a pretty large listener base, you know, the logs don't lie, but it's one of those things where if you're going to attach a Facebook account, it's like, hey, I listened to this really pervy show. You know, check it out. Because, I mean, Facebook's one of those things that it connects way too much to your real life. And I really wouldn't blame anybody not wanting to be a part of a fan group for, you know, a furry adult podcast.
Unless it's a furry Facebook account.
That's very true.
I know quite a few people that have their furry Facebooks.
Yeah, I know that I don't have a Facebook. So.
Oh, and one of the people that is on this has a pony icon.
Of course,
Applejack.
Ponies, they're everywhere. So,
not cast.
So, starting the final round.
Yeah, it's your turn, Fuzz.
Right. Let me just get back to my email here. So I was looking that up. Okay. Okay. So you just read the one from Cool Moon, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to archive that.
Yeah. I just did.
Oh, well, I did too, so there.
Oh, yeah? Well, I did three.
The next level possible text wall. Hello, spinners of the knot. Hazard Puppy here with a semi-charming story and an off-topic question. First, to the topic at hand. Leaning a little far away from my mic. There we go. My local fur friend Diesel was supposed to meet his mate for the first time and was too nervous to go alone. So I tagged along with him. He told his mate that he was bringing a friend along, asking if I was single. Miserably, I said yes, thinking, oh God, now more people are trying to hook me up. As I escorted Diesel to the movie theater, since I had a car, to see an emo-looking boy and an attractive tall man standing beside him. We bought our tickets and went in. It was the movie Twilight, so I half expected a lot of people to be there when there was only a handful there. So the two lovebirds decided to go to the very back row and stayed with Thomas. I don't Don't know who that is.
I think perhaps that was the other guy that he got left with. You need to
introduce your characters earlier in the story, sir. I did the classic reach and yawn trick. He giggled and started to snuggle with me, saying, I think you're cute too. I blushed and kissed him gently, pushing my own boundaries, introducing myself. He smiled and introduced himself and kissed his nose. He slipped a piece of paper in my pocket, thinking nothing of it. Before I knew it, the movie was over, and the two mates in the back row was asleep. We woke them up, they kissed one last time, and we went home. I looked into my pocket, reading the paper, and it was a note saying, I had a great time, call me sometime, love, Thomas. The rest is history, and we've been together 14 months.
All together now. Aww.
Off topic question, and I will let you guys in token female be. My high school has a large growing population of furries ever since I declared to one of my friends that I was. These people range from ages 13 to 15. Okay. Is the fandom... Racky shows disapproval. Is the fandom getting younger? Are they just looking for attention? Do they want to be my friend? Or should I just kill them all with fire? Thanks for taking the time to read this, and I apologize for this wall of text. Keep up the great work. The New England Dingo Hazard Puppy. My opinion, I think the fandom is definitely getting younger.
And I'd just let them be. If they're enjoying it, let them enjoy it. It's not like it's serious business.
Well, you I mean, know
if
they're getting those options, I'm going to suggest.
If you're getting heavily, if they're getting heavily involved with porn, well, that's not anything you want to be anywhere.
If you're over 18, I would not have anything to do with them.
Yeah,
you just, said over.
If you're 18 or over, I would. Not have anything to do with the 13 to 15 year old fandom. Yes. Let them figure shit out for themselves and go their own way.
Let them learn the ways of the fandom and the safety of places like DeviantArt. And
not. You know, I know they're going to see such things, horrible things, where we're going. We don't need eyes to see.
Well,
but,
I mean...
You don't want to be involved in leading them down that road for your own legal well-being.
Your ass covering.
Yes. To protect your sweet virgin ass from the state penitentiary, do not have anything to do with the 13 to 15-year-old members of the fandom.
Yes.
But
CYA.
Just as a general outlook, yeah, I think the fandom is getting younger. I think it's because a lot of the fandom is very internet-based, and these kids today, they're like, there's like six-year-olds walking around with fucking smartphones.
With their internets and their MySpaces and...
Kids and teenagers growing up right now are growing up with the internet, as opposed to my generation that learned to use the internet when it came around.
Yeah, I got internet when I was 12, and I had found furry porn by the time I was 13.
Yes. It took you that long?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's my point of view on that. But yeah, and very sweet story. I'm glad you guys are together. That's cool.
So I wonder if his Thomas was the tall guy or the emo kid.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was just curious.
I don't know, Shiva. I just don't know.
You trying to confuse him with your fancy mathematics.
We haven't had relationship math yet this week, so.
That's good.
Oh, relationship math. We got relationship math. You know the only problem with having an iPad and having an Android phone is that I keep thinking the home button should be like the little touch thing on my Android, and it's not. It's
an evil thing. You have to actually push it.
Yeah.
In that case, I'd really just consider getting rid of the Android because, you know, it's not an Apple product. And I'm kidding. Fucking kidding. I hate people who are like that.
We've had long discussions about how much.
Oh, no, totally. That means you should get rid of the iPad and get a Zoom. No, wait, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to mix platforms, right? So whichever one it is, I have to pick one.
All or none, bro. Blood brothers to the end.
Whatever, guys.
No, well, I seriously hate people who fucking do that.
Okay.
It's your turn,
Sarah. It is indeed. Topics reaching out.
Not reach around. Oh,
shit.
Reaching out.
It's the show. It opens... Aw, shit. My last email did come off of me being a whiny bitch. Sorry, guys. In response to your query this week, I thought I'd share my personal story on the matter. My latest girlfriend and I started as acquaintances. She was a friend of my first girlfriend. We only talked sporadically until one time I made a crack about a girl's monthly reminders, and she slugged me on the shoulder. We hit it off from there. I think I was originally attracted to her because I saw myself in her, hurt, alone, and sad. She was going through ex-boyfriend shit at the time, and we started dating summer of last year.
Regular fucking Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah. We managed to make it 9 months before we broke up just a few weeks ago. My image issues I mentioned last time weren't a factor, it was just that we were growing apart and wanted different things. We're still on good terms, and it wasn't one of those, I hate you, now go die, breakups. She's still probably my best friend and totally supports my current search for a boyfriend, something I thought I'd brought up with her before. So yeah, everything worked out. Keep it real, guys. Ravenwood.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
Cool story, bro. All right.
Better than me. I dumped a bitch for a boyfriend, and she was pissed. She really was. Like, she had, like, don't do that to girls. It will scorn the fuck out of them.
And hell hath no fury. Ugh. All right, or no so furry. Next one. Subject. I want your penis. Oh, all in caps. God. Dear not Cass. Cass, a Canadian wolf tiger here with an on-topic email. I never actually approached my boyfriend. He asked me out. But I should start from the beginning. Back in October, on one of the local furry sites, I noticed that a certain dragon whose display picture I remember from either further back in the July when I used the site briefly before it temporarily went down. That is a long sentence. Anyway, this dragon had just made a post about how new fags can't Triforce, and part of the post included a photograph of him. Right away, I thought he was cute, and some of the stuff on his profile suggested that he was Therian, which is something in common. So I got his MSN and started chatting with him. We started talking almost every night, and after getting better pictures of him, realized he was irresistibly cute, I got a bit of a crush on him. However, there was one thing he was holding me back from saying anything about it. He was 15 at the time. I was 17, so we were legal, but I didn't want to try and seduce him or anything. Then, one night in November, while talking to him about how fun and cuddling he was, he out of nowhere told me I should go down to Ottawa and visit him, so that he could show me around the city. We could eat a good restaurant somewhere. Now, I thought that sounded suspiciously like a date, but we were both scared of rejection, so neither said anything about a date or romantic intentions or crushes. The closest was me suggesting that we fit some cuddling in somewhere and him agreeing. For about a week after, he and I kept flirting back and forth, both of us trying to say, I think I like you a lot, without saying in case the response was no. Then, after having discussed the situation with almost all my friends, I finally decided to confront him by telling him that a friend was hitting on me and had kind of sort of asked me out. I described the whole situation, saying that I thought it was someone was hitting on me, but I wasn't sure if they were interested. Eventually, he caught on right when I had to leave. When I got back, he admitted he did have a crush on me, and the visit he had suggested was supposed to be a date. We decided early on not to call ourselves mates until we could actually meet in real life. However, the emotional connection grew until we ended up calling ourselves mates and boyfriend anyway. Everything was going fine until mid-January when, to make a long story short, his mom decided to be as big a bitch as she could and break us up, not because of gay hate, she's fine with her son being gay, but simply because she got in a fight with her son. He's since realized that the whole family is fucking insane and decided to get back together with me behind her back as of 2 weeks ago. When my boyfriend finally described... Hold on. All right. Yeah. There needed a period there. When my boyfriend finally described to me how his mom treats him, especially during fights they have, he realized that his mom is outright abusive, verbally and physically. So... Now he's close to walking away from his family, but that's a different story for a different email. Basically, our relationship is going great, although we haven't been able to get quite as emotionally close as we were before the breakup. We're getting closer every day. I think he might even try to propose to me the other day, before realizing partway through it that we should at least wait a couple of years until he's 18 before marriage, or at least meet real life before he proposes. Lol. It was rather cute. My apologies for the wall of text. I tried to use paragraphs, but I don't know if I succeeded. Like all my long, awkwardly written emails, this one will probably be read by Shiva, so my apologies.
Wow. It's almost impossible now to, like, make something get into somebody's email pile when we're not printing them out and I'm handing them to people. So, yeah, that really is totally random that you got that. That's awesome.
Oh, God. So, yeah, yes, wait until you've seen each other in real life. Wait until you're 18.
Wait until you're older if you can. I mean, seriously. Don't nail yourself down too quick.
Yeah, there's no point buying a cow when you can get sex for free.
You're a fucking terrible person.
Hey, that's a line from a Kevin Smith movie. Well, I'm terrible, then so
is he. We know Kevin Smith's a terrible person.
And so is Fuzz. So they're good together.
Yay! I guess. So Recky has the last email of the night.
Okay, let me get to it. Sorry, I was reading something fucking awesome. All right, let's see here.
Oh, so you know they saw the new fanfic, too?
My Little Pony? No, I was seeing the CNN.com article where the Navy successfully tested a fucking laser gun and demolished a boat's motors from over a mile away.
Neat.
So, that was bitching. I was about to watch the YouTube video.
I thought you were going to say they successfully tested the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Like that. With lasers.
With lasers.
No, our military can officially fire fucking lasers. That's awesome.
Wow, that's
They're
great.
Planning to use it on pirates.
Oh, yes!
Cook those bitches. Anyway, alright. To like or not to like, hey, Fisherman of the Knot and the sassy L-shaped one. Are you sassy?
No.
Mm-hmm. You can be. When I'm being all misogynistic and shit. Alright.
Glad you said that word and didn't try to make me. I would have called it something else.
Massage.
I was thinking of that. I don't think I'm going to say that right. I'm
he
glad
just made it creepy. Hey, all it's your resident Wolpert from the East Coast here, Demona?
Yes.
Nowadays, it's easy to tell someone like you. Someone you like them. You just click a button on their Facebook profile and it's done. Here in the Northeast furry scene, there was something called a husky handshake. I don't know why. I guess maybe this is how huskies greet each other in the wild. Okay.
What?
How one is performed is by grabbing another male by the nuts and shaking it like you would do the hand of a non-Japanese businessman.
The fuck?
Thankfully, this practice has since ceased. Seriously, though, you just have to go for it. Don't be forceful and expect some rejection. I have seen some guys ask other guys for their paws and mateship. And it backfires. Then the asker becomes an obsessed stalker who hangs around their FA pages, makes creepy shots about murs, scritches, and licks. It helps to be a friend beforehand. Don't just watch someone from the shadows and then ask them to marry you. Nor should you befriend someone only for the sake of a relationship. In my case, I met my boyfriend online after an exchanging of pictures and getting to know each other well and decided to be an item. A ton of in-person visits, and 4 years later, we're still together. All right, you guys, stay safe. Stay out of stabby towns. Demona out. Wow, that sounds like the furriest furries to ever furry furries in Furry Town.
Yeah, so. And it's like, hey, you greet each other by sexually assaulting each other.
I mean, shit. Dogs don't even do that. They just sniff each other's ass, you know?
Yeah, the fuck. Really.
That is
I think she
up.
Was just being...
She might have been making it up. Who knows?
I think making it up. I'm pretty
Either way,
damn
that's
sure.
pretty fucking creative.
We're all like, I hope you're making it up, but I don't
I'm
think
just like,
you are.
Damn, I thought some of the people in Dallas were fucking weird, but...
So, yeah, that was the last email for tonight. Announcements-wise, I will be teaming up with Flane and a number of other people, and we'll be doing a podcast on My Little Pony.
Oh, God.
I think the working title is My Little Podcast Friendship is Awesome.
Still think you should have called it BronyCast.
Well, we haven't nailed down the title, and we're going to...
My Little Bronies!
This is probably going to be a one-off sort of thing. But we will decide how that goes, you know? It was one of those things, we totally need to do this. Okay, then we're going to do it. Other than that, next week's topic, Shiva, did you have an idea? Yes, actually we did.
Yeah.
So this week we talked about...
Beginnings.
And we're going to go back to a topic that we last touched on episode 28, like 2 years ago. When to break up. Dump the motherfucker already is the acronym, or is the phrase that is the acronym DTMFA. And it's the moment in time when you realize, I have stuck my dick in crazy. I must run away now.
Get it off. Get it off.
And this is not to be, you know, stab a person in the back and name names and drag dirt out. But, you know, interesting points where you knew, wow, this is over. Sorry. So don't write into the show to break up via the show. That'd be terrible. Don't do it.
We won't read it.
So we'll read the mushy emails, but we won't read the, you know.
Well, I don't think there's going to be any.
Get the fuck out and I keep the cat ones.
I don't think there's going to be any mushy breakup emails, but, you know. It's like, oh, we loved each other so much that we had to move out and separate our goods, and he took my cat and I poisoned his fish. And
I used to love her, but I had to kill her. It's a Guns N' Roses song.
I think I gobbled her up in a big tasty stew, so watch out.
She's buried right in my backyard.
Wow.
You're not creepy at all.
That's real. I'm not making that up. I'm not the creepy one. Axl Rose is.
I don't doubt it.
I probably will not be here next week. Well, I will be in town next week, but...
But fuck you guys.
I'm leaving for training. I got to fly out Sunday to Wisconsin, and I will be back Wednesday. And I'm sorry, I'm going to be fucking tired. So
we'll see how you feel.
Yeah, it just depends on how I feel.
Yeah, we'll grab you by the balls and see how you feel.
Yeah, and just give me the husky handshake.
And as
now I won't say it.
I have one little thing left to read.
Okay.
Is it My Little Pony related?
Yes.
Okay, well.
Now listen. Big Macintosh came to Ponyville's new dance club to see what the fuss was about, not expecting to enjoy himself much. He certainly had expected to meet the mayors that struck his interest, but as soon as he'd walked in, he'd seen the beauty behind the turntables. He'd heard of Vinyl Scratch before, but never much detail, and never that she looked so good. And now, with the dancing over, the Red Stallion couldn't believe his luck. He was doing his best to flirt with the unicorn musician, and to his eternal surprise, rather than laugh at his lame pickup lines, she was flirting back. They got drinks and retired to a table in a dark corner of the club. It was still hours to last call, but the place had become nearly deserted since the end of the music, with only a few amorous stragglers enjoying their drinks and company in close pairs. A stray female fan approached, complimenting Scratch on another good show before giving the two a knowing smile and returning to the table she shared with her own date. Big Macintosh finished his drink quickly, for courage as he admired her feminine curves. The stallion threw a hoof around Scratch's neck. Lips met, tongues met. The unicorn made a little moaning sound in the back of her throat. It drove Mac wild. All too soon, the kiss ended. "You're one hot little filly," he murmured, looking down at her with a seductive smile. She hummed appreciatively and leaned in to nibble on his ear before whispering into it, "I have a secret, Big Stallion. I'm not a filly." The only thing more surprising to Big Mac was a revelation was his reaction. "I have the weirdest boner right now." Vinyl Scratch smiled. Good night, and big balls.